And welcome back to the Omban. I'm Matt Ferreira.
And I'm Ezra, and today we got a pretty jam-packed episode, if I do say so myself. We got a lot of stuff coming, so I feel like we should just jump right into it. A rare W for the Yankees in the minor leagues, signing the first female manager to a minor league system. Rachel Balkovic, I believe is how you pronounce it. She was the hitting coach in 2019 and now the low A manager. So props to the Yankees on that one. And then, Matt, I know you probably know a little more about the talks that the MLB and MLBPA had last night on Thursday. So what do you got there?
Yeah, so Jeff Passan tweeted out earlier in the week that the first labor talk was going to happen on Thursday, which was yesterday. And he ended up tweeting at 2:15 p.m. an update. And he said, "There is no deal. There was never going to be one today. MLB made a proposal. The reaction among the players was not positive. Few on either side expected it to be. The question is how soon the MLBA counters. Spring training starting on time is in peril."
Yeah, so lockout, still scary, going for a little bit longer than we were hoping for. Obviously, well, we all expect it to go long, so this isn't that much of a surprise. But we kind of wish that it could have just been over with as soon as it started. In other baseball news, just a quick little bit on our favorite Japanese import at the moment, Shohei Ohtani. He was on the cover of GQ, and he actually had some very good things to say. He said in the interview that baseball was born in the United States, and he personally wants to be to make baseball the most popular sport. So if he can help contribute to that in any way, he's very open to it. And he also was talking about being called the face of baseball, which I think we all can agree. Just he's so marketable and he's such a good player, so it's easy to give him that nod. He said that hearing himself be called the face of baseball is very welcoming, and it gives him the motivation to keep it up and have more and more great years. So you just gotta love Ohtani for that. Going on GQ, dressing all nice, looking pretty, and just really saying what everybody here wants to hear.
Yeah, he's doing stuff on the field that people haven't done in hundreds of years, pitching and hitting at a high level. It's amazing. I mean, it's something that like we never thought we'd see at the MLB level.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And speaking of something that is quite impressive, we got to give a quick shout out to our guy Harrison Bader of the Cardinals. I know, Matt, you told me about this, and I did a little bit of research on it. Because of the COVID situation in Missouri, there were elementary schools that were short-staffed, and Cardinals outfielder Harrison Bader stepped in to substitute teach. And you just gotta love that. That's a great move, not only for the publicity of baseball, but just Harrison Bader being a great guy. Personally, one of my favorite Cardinals players. So it was just really nice to see that.
Yeah, I just know that I would absolutely freak that if I woke up and I went to school and my teacher was a professional baseball player, I'd be
Not
like in
just
shock.
a professional baseball player, a pretty darn good
Gold
one
Glove
too. And Bader,
winner.
yeah, a great player. So you got to give him his shout out there. To my favorite team, the Orioles, they're moving back the left field wall just approximately 30 feet. It's not decided, but it's up to 30 feet. And they're bumping the left field wall up to 12 total feet. So that's 5 extra feet to get rid of the home run bug that has really been bugging Camden Yards since 1992. In the creation of Camden Yards, no ballpark has seen more home runs sail over the fence, and that's including Coors Field, which is pretty much synonymous with the long ball. So to see the Orioles making an effort here to make the ballpark more efficient and more open for pitching free agents, I like the move. I think it's good, and you lose a few seats, but in the long run, I think it'll be pretty good. And I saw a diagram of it actually. It's going to look very similar to how the pesky pole looks in Fenway, just on the other side of the field.
Really interesting. I think Orioles pitching, it's going to be great for their young prospects coming up and free agent signings, like you said. the real person that's going to dislike this is Gleyber Torres. That guy always seems to hit a home run out there.
He really does. Thank God that this is moving back. So hopefully the Orioles have more of a chance. And also, 9 of the top 10 prospects, hitting prospects in the Orioles organization are left-handed or switch hitters. So it's not really going to affect the O's young guys coming up. So that's probably part of the consideration that they took into. Speaking from experience, I just know that the history of baseball would be very different had this happened way earlier. The Baltimore faithful call that corner the Hardy corner because J.J. Hardy used to always seem to sneak one over the fence there. And he probably never would have had that 30 home run season that he did if the wall was as far back as it is going to be this coming season. And now on to – oh, sorry, Matt.
I was just going to keep going, moving on. The Mets announced that they are going to be retiring Keith Hernandez's number. He spent 7 years with the Mets. He's a 3-time All-Star. He was an MVP runner-up, 5 gold gloves, a silver slugger, and he was a World Series champion in 1986. I think it's well-deserved. The Mets should have done this, and I think it's just a good testament to how good of a player he was.
Yeah. Going off of that, he's one of only 4 players in MLB history with Clemente, Mays, and Ichiro to have won an MVP batting title and 10 gold gloves. So just a testament to how great of a player he was. So it's pretty clear cut that the Mets probably should have retired his number earlier, but it's good that they're doing it now.
Well deserved.
The last part of this quick little news section is that John Lester announced his retirement. 3 World Series rings, 5 All-Stars, a no-hitter, 200 career wins, and a postseason ERA of 2.51. A career and a half battled through cancer, came back, no-hitter, Cy Young Award. You can't deny the man a great career and definitely has a shot at this at the Hall of Fame in 5 years.
Yeah, definitely. A 3.66 career ERA, 451 games started, 2,740 innings and 2,400 strikeouts. It's a great career for him. I know I was sad to see him go when he left Boston after 9 years when we traded him to Oakland, but he spent 6 great years with the Cubs as well, winning a World Series in 2016, was a big part of that team.
Yeah, just the man was a warrior and he was a leader too. So a great 16-year career. Shout out to him. But speaking of the Cubs, Matt, I know you have something set up for this. So speaking of the Cubs, we have somebody with us today, and Matt, take it away.
We have our first Arm Barn interview and guest coming from Hobart, Indiana, number 22 for the Emerson Lions, Benny Guevara.
Now, Benny, welcome to the pod. You're our first guest, so this must be really special for you. I know
Amazing.
Now, just tell us a little bit about yourself, Benny.
Well, like Matt said, I am on the Emerson baseball team. I'm a pitcher, number 22, just living life from Indiana. But I'm a diehard Cubs fan. There's no better team. But it's just a little basic stuff.
Benny, what is your favorite position to play and why? Like, I know you said you're a pitcher, but everybody played every position when they were little.
I'm going to have to go with third base. Back in high school, that was my primary position. That hot corner is just unbelievable. It's a lot of people hate it because of how hard and difficult it can be throwing from across the diamond. There's nothing better than it. I had to move from shortstop because my coach hated me. No, I'm kidding. My coach didn't hate me. He was just – we had so many shortstops that he had to transition me over to third base, but – It was the best. Watching Nolan Arenado, Alex Rodriguez. I know that guy gets a lot of hate, but watching him grow up was pretty cool. So it's definitely the best position. Not gonna lie.
So
go ahead, Ezra.
Nah. So you said diehard Cubs fan. So I'm gonna assume that Wrigley, the best ballpark in your eyes. But what would you say is number 2, second best ballpark you've ever been to?
Number 2, that's always a debate, but I've been to a couple. I'd have to say Fenway. Even though, I would say the second best would probably be Milwaukee's ballpark. It's a beautiful ballpark as well, but I'm going to have to go with Fenway. The history there is amazing. The atmosphere, going to a Yankee Red Sox game, I mean, you can't get any better than that. I mean, you kind of have to argue Cubs and Cardinals, but Fenway is definitely number two.
Go Sox, baby. Benny, it's been stated multiple times you're a Cubs fan, but when you were a childhood player, who was your favorite player that was not on the Cubs? Like, who made you branch out to all the other teams and explore the MLB?
I'm going to have to go with Clayton Kershaw. Watching him, Matt has him on the background. Clayton Kershaw was the guy that I grew up, that wasn't a Cub fan, or a Cub player. And watching him pitch, I mean, it was unbelievable. Watching that curveball, it made me want to throw that 12-6 curve, even though I cannot do it at all because of my arm angle. He was probably that guy. I mean, for a stint, I did like the Dodgers because I just loved him so much. And to see him dominate in 2014, win a Cy Young and MVP that year, a no-hitter, I mean, it was just unreal. So he made me expand then from the Cubs.
Speaking of your favorite players, I got a question about past players. And if you could see any player that you never saw play live from the past, who would it be and why?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I mean, the guy that I would love to see would probably be Nolan Ryan. I mean, seeing that guy throw what many have said, almost 107, 108, I would love to see that fastball. I would just die to see this guy pitch. I mean, he pitched seven no-hitters. Or it's seven, right? I
think it's seven.
Never won a Cy Young. Like, I mean, this guy was like unreal, and to see him compete, I would just love to see that.
And Benny, I know you recently had a tweet that blew up, and it was about your dad's big three versus your big three that you guys watched growing up. What was it like being a Cubs fan in Chicago and watching Bryant and Baez and Rizzo come up through the system into their own, becoming a big three in Chicago and eventually winning that World Series in 2016?
Well, I mean, I remember when Baez got called up. I mean, that dude was a free swinger. I mean, he's still a free swinger. I mean, he's unreal. His discipline's unreal, but when he connects, it's amazing. I remember, I was like, this kid's going to be good. Bryant in 2015, during spring training, I mean, there was a lot of hype about him. I mean, he was killing it. And, eventually being called up and winning Rookie of the Year. And then Rizzo getting traded, the Cubs traded him from the Padres. I mean, there wasn't really a lot of hype about him. I mean, he was really a nobody. But, I mean, to see all three of them come up big and, do their own achievement. I mean, Bryant, like I said, Rookie of the Year and then winning MVP in 2016. Arguably the 21st century Mr. Cub, Rizzo. I mean, seeing him and Baez being flashy and at one part being the face of baseball, I mean, everybody wanted to see that glove that he had in the infield. I mean, it was amazing. And the 2016 championship, I mean, I still get chills watching it. I mean, the impact that it had on the city, unreal. I mean, I know my dad's big three, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and why am I all of a sudden? Dennis Rodman. That's how bad of a fan I am for the Bulls, but I mean, they did bring, Michael Jordan brought six championships to Chicago. I mean, that's amazing in itself. But the Cubs broke a 108-year curse. I mean, it was unreal. I mean, the amount of people at the parade, because I ended up going to the championship parade, I mean, it was unreal. It was just like kind of an out-of-body experience. Like, I'd never seen anything like that before, so I will always forever say the 2016 Cubs are better than the Bulls.
Yeah. I mean, it had to have a huge impact on the city. Not seeing a championship in 108 years from the Cubs and called them the lovable losers for the longest time, but
that's right.
Eventually broke it.
I mean, Rajay Davis almost broke our hearts, but it almost happened, but I mean, we have clutch moments.
But then you had Ben Zobrist and the, not in the same game, but the Miguel Montero grand slam earlier that postseason.
Oh my God.
Just thinking about those. I'm not, Cubs are my second team because my dad's family's from Chicago, but they're not, obviously I'm an O's fan first, but it's just chills down my spine just hearing you talk about it. And it was, for me even, being an O's fan first was unreal to just get to see that happen. Obviously, I wish I could have seen it live, but when time machines come up, that's what I'm doing
with it. Dude, I like remember just watching it. Like I remember I just like fell to the ground. I was like, no shot that this just happened. Like it's done. Like we completed the impossible. It was just it's still chilling. I mean, it's been I think 5 years now. And, you know, it still feels like it was just a couple, you know, legit last year. Like it still has that big of an impact on the city.
For sure. Benny's going to force feed his kid highlights. 2016 Cubs.
I already told my girlfriend, I said, we're going to watch game 7 of the World Series at one point. Cause I just need to watch it again.
Has to be a yearly tradition.
It has to be.
Watch it on the anniversary each time.
Oh my God, dude. I'll watch it anytime.
Love that. Love that. We're going to move right along. Benny's going to stay with us. We're going to do a snake draft of actually creating a team. So we're going to do jerseys and logo. So like a branding of a team, a stadium, a lineup, a rotation, bullpen, fan base, and a front office. So we got a full team draft coming up here. It's going to be an interesting one. I had to do tons of research looking into this for a board, so to say, but
yeah, this is going to be a really interesting one. And I like that we have a lot of different parts of this, and I'm really interested to see how it goes with a third person. Benny, as our guest, I will give you the honor of taking the first pick in the draft. Matt, you want to go second or third? I really have no preference.
I'll go middle. I'll say middle.
All right. So, Benny, you're on the clock in the franchise snake draft. Who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with the Florida Marlins.
Florida Marlins branding. Interesting. Mm-hmm. That was my top choice, actually. So there goes that.
Well, that is it's a beautiful jersey. And the logo, undeniably beautiful. Like,
yes, of course.
For my first pick, I think everything starts in the front office. So I'm going to take the Los Angeles Dodgers front office. They've done really well in the past with bringing up prospects and Dustin May, but they've also done sign free agents like Trevor Bauer, who obviously hasn't worked out too well, but he did when before everything went down. They've also made some interesting decisions, picking up Max Muncy and Justin Turner, who had done well in different teams and developed them into stars. So I'm going to have to take the Dodgers front office with my first pick.
So I get a quick little back-to-back here. And with my first pick, I'm shoring up what I view as just something that's pretty much unreal. And that's my rotation is going to be the New York Mets. You can't tell me that a rotation of DeGrom, Scherzer, Taijuan Walker, it's just too good to be true. Guys, even Cookie Carrasco's still there. He probably has a few more good years. And I am just making sure that those pitchers are top tier. And now my next pick, I'm going to go and do my branding as well. And I'm taking the Diamondbacks throwback purple and teals. Those pinstripe jerseys are iconic. Won the World Series in them in 2001. And I just had to have them for this snake draft.
Great choice.
So I'm going to go with branding because everybody else did. So I'm going to take Benny. You're going to dislike this, but I'm taking the 1990s Cardinals. I'm going to take their cream home jerseys that Mark McGwire used to always wear. But for the away jerseys, I think I'm going to take the powdered blue.
I'm not going to hate on that because those are fresh. But I'm just going to go past it. I'm not going to act like
it never happened. I don't know what you're talking about.
It never happened. Never happened. So I guess I'm going to go with a stadium. I know everybody's going with like front offices and like bullpens and stuff. I'm going stadium. You got to go with Wrigley Field. None of you are taking that away from me. It's the greatest stadium in the world. The history that's been there. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And then, goodness. Man, a rotation, it's a little hard. I mean, because Ezra, you did take the Mets, which that was my pick. And now I don't know what to go with, but I am going to have – I'm going to have to go with the Dodgers still. I think the Dodgers still have a lot left in the tank. I mean, they got so much – they have so much talent coming up as well. I mean, Dustin May is coming back from DJ at some point throughout the year. Hopefully Trevor Bauer can come back. I know there's been issues with that, but I mean, that's still a dominant pitcher. I mean, he's still working on all his game. And I mean, I think the Dodgers still have that, that rotation.
Yeah, definitely a good rotation. They still got Tony Gonsolin out there. I know mm-hmm. Kershaw's a free agent. He's expected to go back, but we never know. Max Scherzer left, but still a great rotation.
You can never forget about Walker, man. He is
Walker. How could you forget about Walker?
Me and Betty both forgot about Walker. We just
forgot about Walker.
We forgot about the ace of the stack.
The possible ace of the
Dodgers. The man has the tightest pants in the world, and boy, does he look good doing it.
Kind of reminds me of another tight pants man.
Yeah.
Joe Colucci.
Shout out, Luke. Joe
Colucci. I'm in college. That man has some tight pants as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Matt, I believe the clock is on you. Where are you going to go?
I think I'm going to take the first lineup. Mm. And I'm going to take the Toronto Blue Jays. They got a young core with Vladdy, Bo. You still got Biggio that's going to come back and play second. You got Gurriel Jr. You got Grichik. They've just got bats up and down that lineup. Alejandro Kirk has been raking. It's just a team that hits. You still got George Springer. Forgot about him. Like, up and down, bet one of the best lineups in baseball.
Yeah, you can't really deny that. That was actually my top choice for lineups, but naturally you're going to steal that away from me. But now I'm thinking that was actually my next pick. So this changes things. And I'm going to shore up my pitching staff. I'm going to finish it off. I'm going to do it quick and early. I got to go with the White Sox bullpen. The other team from the other side of Chicago, oh my, are they good. Obviously, the playoffs didn't go too well for them, but Kyle Hendricks, Craig Kimbrell's there. They have the best relief pitcher in the league right now in Hendricks. Kimbrell got back into form with the Cubs at a certain point last year and didn't do his best with the Sox, but he still got it in him. There's so many names in that bullpen that are going to be solid. They have other guys. They have starting pitchers who will end up in the bullpen because they have such a stacked rotation. So that's why I'm going to have to go with the White Sox bullpen.
Lots of young players in that bullpen too. I know Garrett Crochet is a menace in MLB The Show, but he's really good in real life too. You got Michael Kopech, who's really good. He dominated. It's just a great bullpen.
They were top 10 in bullpen whip this past season. So undeniable. You gotta take it there. Guys like Aaron Bummer and Cody Hoyer, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Yep.
Are just, they're there and they're good. So with my next pick, again, Matt, you threw me off by taking the Blue Jays lineup. So I'm gonna do a little bit of an obvious pick here, and I'm taking the front office, and I'm taking the front office of the Rays. There's not great much pick. Needs to be said there. They're probably the best front office, very analytics heavy, and it works. They don't have a ton of money being in Tampa Bay. They don't make a ton of money because nobody shows up to the Trop, and yet year in, year out, they're competing for the division. That's a front office I need at the helm of my team.
It works unless you're in Game Six of the World Series taking out Blake
Ooh,
Snell.
Oh, hey. Touchy subject.
I already have my next pick. I mean, it's rotation, pitching wins, championships, and I'm surprised it's not gone yet. I am taking the Milwaukee Brewers rotation. You got Cy Young winner.
Phenomenal pick.
Cy Young winner, Corbin Burns. You got Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, both have breakout seasons. I mean, they have probably one of the best three-headed monsters in baseball, and that's I've had them going to the World Series last year because of how good that three-man rotation was right there. But I'm taking the Brewers rotation.
That's a great pick, Maddie. Phenomenal pick. I cheer you on for that. I totally, you know, I hate the Brewers, so maybe that's why it just went right over my head. I don't know. Maybe that's why it went over my head. I mean, how could you forget about that three-headed monster of rotation? For me, I think I'm going to go with the lineup. My prediction for the 2022 World Series champs, the Chicago White Sox. I think this lineup has so much potential. I mean, you got Yasmani, who, yes, last year, you look at the average, it's absolutely just dreadful, but he came off the injury, the IR, and, I mean, he came more productive. You got, like, the veteran, Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, Tim Anderson, young man, Eloy, Luis Roberts, Gavin Sheets, Andrew Vaughn. I mean, you've got a young lineup with some vets. I think the one spot that they need, though, is second base. They are lacking. They did trade for Cesar from the Indians.
Hernandez.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that's the one spot that they're lacking. I don't see anything else, and I think this is a championship lineup. Now, are we doing fan base?
Yes.
Yeah, we are.
I am going to choose my fan base right now. And I'm actually going to go with the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox have one of the best fan bases I have ever seen, despite the Cubs. I did not want to be biased in this pick, so I did not choose the Cubs. But I think the Red Sox have one of the greatest fan bases of all time. Going to Fenway and seeing a game, I mean, I've never seen so much energy in a stadium. And I would love to have the Red Sox fan base.
I would have to agree. It's a great fan base.
Of course you would, Maddie.
Only a little bias in that statement there. But Matt, back to you. Where are you going?
I'm going with a bullpen that helped carry this team to an unlikely run last year. And I'm going with the San Francisco Giants bullpen. They got Jake McGee, Camilo Duvall. They'd have Tyler Rogers. They had a lot of guys that just throw funky and it works.
That's 100%.
Yeah, you gotta applaud them. There's not a ton of big names in San Francisco, but if you have a solid bullpen, you win games, and they showed that 107 last season. So undeniable. A great pick. I actually thought you were gonna go with a different team that made an unlikely run last season for your bullpen, but clearly you didn't. Right.
Maddie F defies the odds.
Always.
Next pick is to me, and I have another double pick here. And Benny, shout out to you for not being biased in your fan base pick, because I'm taking the Cubbies.
Go ahead, baby. That's it. That's the right pick.
They are one of the greatest fan bases. 108 years worth of losing, and the Wrigley Field was packed anyways. You can't get past that. Some of the most passionate fans I have ever seen in any sport. And I also just want my stands to be filled with Chicago dogs and deep dish pizza. So that's why I got to go with the Cubs fan base. And now I have two places I can go. I can go with my stadium, or I can go with my lineup, which I've left to last. And my second pick is still there, with you guys having taken my first and third. I'm going with an unlikely NL Central team, and I'm going with the Cincinnati Reds. Now, hear me out. Their lineup was so good last season. Jesse Winker, breakout season. Joey Votto, we know what he can do. Nick Castellanos, I know Benny loves him.
And a deep drive to left field by Nick Castellanos.
And I know Benny loves the Nick Castellanos stint in Chicago was fantastic.
I mentioned,
Rookie of the Year, Jonathan India, Barnhart behind the plate. They got the Punisher out there in the outfield and DHing. There are so many guys. They're so deep and they're so good. Moustakas doesn't even start in that lineup. So that's why I'm going to have to pull them and say that my lineup is the Reds.
I love that. That's phenomenal. That is actually a pretty good pick.
It was not on my radar at all, but now that you're explaining it.
They were an underrated team, especially watching NL Central baseball. I mean, they were scary sometimes. Like, they had that potential, and especially with Joey Votto, 38 years old, 37 years old. I mean, Cub killer. That's all I can say. I mean, every time he plays the Cubs, it seems like he's just laying down the law.
Alrighty, so you guys both chose your fan bases, so I'm going to leave that for last since I'm pretty much guaranteed the one I wanted since the beginning. So I'm going to take my stadium. And well, I know Ezra and probably Benny both expect me to take Fenway Park. I'm going to be a little unbiased here, and I'm not going to take Fenway. I'm going to take the first ballpark I had ever gone to, and that is Petco Park.
Interesting.
I don't know what it is. I just love the stadium with the planes in the background, the airport being right there, and you got
I don't know why I'm picking it, but there's something about it.
You got the building in left field. It's just a weird ballpark, and it's a beautiful stadium at the same time.
I mean, the most iconic baseball moment of all time happened there with the impossible happening and Bartolo getting it out of the yard. You can't get past that. And I love the building in left field, the steel mill. It's an iconic stadium.
I like that pick, Matt. I like that. It's an interesting pick. I thought you would have went that way, but Petco's not that bad. They just need to learn how to win games.
That they do. That and stay healthy.
We're laying down the law.
We are laying down the law. We are throwing some heated opinions in this, but the Padres need to learn how to win. But I guess I'll go with my – I think I got two picks left, right? That's it?
I got
bullpen and front office. So with the bullpen, I am going to go with the Dodgers. I don't know if anybody's picked the Dodgers, but I'm going to go with the Dodgers bullpen. Scary bullpen last year. I know Kenley is a free agent, I'm pretty sure, right now, but I'm pretty sure the Dodgers are going to sign him back. That's a scary guy right there, Blake Treinen. Oof. Scary guy. That guy is filthy.
Blake Treinen, I've never seen a player besides DeGrom that can move the ball so well to both sides.
Yes, it's the sinker slider combination, and especially with the slider at 91, with the sinker at almost 100 each time. Like, it's just unreal how filthy that guy is. And they get, you know, they have some guys in there that aren't too big name, but I mean, they still get the job done. I mean, the Dodgers went to the World Series, or didn't go to the World Series. Sorry, the Braves went to the World Series and ended up winning it. But, you know, the Dodgers can keep competing. And with a bullpen with a couple no names, I mean, it's unbelievable. But with the front office, I mean, I really don't know who to go with here. It's kind of hard. But I might have to go with the White Sox. Now, they made some pretty big moves last year with trades and getting some big guys, especially with Craig Kimbrel. I know he didn't show up like he did with the Cubs. I think they did personally lose that trade with the Cubs, getting Nick Madrigal. But, I mean, their farm system is still pretty good. I mean, they're still going to make some good moves. Lance Lynn, signing him to an extension, getting Liam Hendricks, adding him to the bullpen. I mean, they're going to have a great future. And it's all thanks to that front office.
I'd agree. I'd say the only bad move I've seen that front office make, and I don't even know if it's the same front office that made the trade, is the Tatis trade. But
yes, that's a bad trade.
That was a terrible
that's a
trade.
Bad trade.
Granted, didn't they trade him like 3 days after they signed him or something like that? It was something unreal.
It was very quick.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who they even got for him.
James Shields.
Yeah, it was bad.
That bum.
It was a bad trade, but, you know, live and learn. And guess who made the playoffs this year? The White Sox. The Padres.
Hey, they also traded for Eloy.
It is true.
From the Cubs, exactly. And the Cubs got nothing out of that. I mean, and Eloy is an absolute menace.
Eloy isn't human. He was made to just hit baseballs.
That's right. That guy's – I love Eloy, and I cannot take the crap that White Sox fans give Cubs about that Eloy trade, but I'm not saying that.
For my fan base, it's one that hasn't been talked about a lot until this past year. Granted, they haven't had a lot to cheer for. I'm taking the Seattle Mariners.
Ooh.
They came onto the scene last year, and at the end of the year, all you heard about was the Mariners. And as they were fighting for a wild card spot that they eventually didn't end up getting. But seeing their goodbye to Kyle Seager was emotional, and that was just great fan base. Even in the early 90s, mid-90s, when Ken Griffey was there, that T-Mobile Park and all that was packed. It was just – it's one of the best fan bases, and they continue to cheer for the Mariners, even if they're losing.
Yeah, and they've seen some great players. They just haven't seen some great seasons recently. So I actually really love that Mariners pick. I think they have a great fan base. I think Seattle itself, just with all sports, the Seattle Sounders have a great fan base. The Seahawks, of course, known for the 12th man. And I think the Mariners, as soon as the Robbie Ray deal turns into money, and he starts going off and that lineup starts going off and they're making playoff runs, it's just going to get even crazier in T-Mobile Park. And speaking of the park, my last pick has to be a stadium. And now, Matt, you've avoided being biased a lot in this draft. Benny, you took Wrigley, but you avoided taking the Cubs fan base out of bias.
Yes.
I'm going to be very biased, and I'm picking Camden Yards.
Now, the question is 30 feet back fence Camden Yards or current Camden? Okay.
Not non-renovated Camden Yards. I love that corner. It's amazing. And the warehouse on Utah Street, the giant scoreboard in dead center. You can't beat Camden Yards. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think it's the best stadium. So followed closely by Wrigley and Fenway, of course.
Is it now a shell drive to left field by Nick Castellanos since you have the Reds lineup in Camden?
Hey.
Wow.
More home runs for Nick Castellanos is all I need. And I get to see him trot around the bases in those beautiful D-backs, purple and teal with the cream pin with cream and the purple pinstripes. Ooh-wee, that's going to be a pretty sight to see. And I believe that will conclude the draft. I think we have some pretty diverse picks here. I know, Matt, you went for a lot of sleeper picks.
Throughout this Red draft, Sox pick.
Which was not what I was expecting you to do. I thought you were going to go a lot more mainstream than you did. And Benny, I had no idea what to expect from you. I'm not gonna lie. I knew there were going to be Cubs picks in there, but
I only had one Cub pick. And that was
really I know. Cool. And it was an obvious pick.
It's obvious.
You can't not take Wrigley.
Now, continuing with the Cubs, we're going to go to everybody's favorite Mount Rushmore segment. And since we have the Cubs expert on, we had to do an all Chicago Mount Rushmore. So we'll start off with the Cubs because Betty's team. Beautiful. I have, first off, you got Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks.
I think we can all agree that he's got to be there. Do we need to talk about the stats? He's called Mr. Cub.
No.
Yeah. All-time leader in plate appearances, at-bats, total bases, extra base hits, intentional walks, and games played with the Cubs, 19 years in Chicago, a Hall of Famer, two MVPs, 14 All-Star appearances, just one of the greatest shortstops of all time. And like Ezra said, there's a reason why he's called Mr. Cub.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in saying that the three of us all had him first name on the list, right?
Yep, of course, yeah. That is Mr. Cub. I feel like you should be number one if your nickname is Mr. Cub. So
100%. Now, Matt, who's your second name that you're putting on the Rushmore?
My second name was a famous second baseman for the Cubs, and it's Ryan Sandberg. Spent 15 years there, Hall of Famer, MVP again, 10-time All-Star, Home and Derby champion, 9 Gold Gloves, 7 Silver Sluggers, and a MLB Player of the Year award in Chicago.
The Rhino, also on my list. He's one of, if not the best second baseman to ever play the game. I know, Benny, you probably also had him on your Rushmore.
Yeah, right? I did. Very much I did.
Who would have thought? But, I mean, one of the greatest both sides of the ball players. 9 Gold Gloves in his career and 7 Silver Sluggers with 10 All-Stars and an MVP. He's just a fantastic player. And there's a reason, again, I bring this up every episode, but there's reasons these guys have their numbers retired. Rhino has a reason, and it's because he is one of the best players to ever play in the organization.
Most definitely. Now, the end of the Mount Rushmore, especially on historical teams like this, is when it can get a little dicey. Now, recently, my third guy, me and Benny, recently watched a documentary on, and it's Sammy Sosa. 13 years with the Cubs, MVP, 7-time All-Star, 6-time Silver Slugger, all-time leader for home runs for the Cubs. He was one of the biggest faces of the player of the 90s. I think he just has to be there.
You know,
interesting pick.
You say that you think he has to be there, but there are so many names, and Sammy isn't on my list, actually.
I'm going to have to say the same thing, Ezra. He did not make my list.
It's a bold take from us, because I know people will get mad at that. When you think of the Cubs, if you're not thinking of Ernie Banks, you're thinking of Sosa. But there's just other names that I had to put above him. So he's not there for me, but he does deserve at least a mention, of course.
I mean, there's no doubt about it that he was a great player. That's not the takeaway from that, but for me, when I was making the Mount Rushmore, it was more about the impact on the team and the city.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. Now, Matt, you have one more name to top off the Rushmore in your honorable mention, and who may those be?
So to top off my Rushmore, this is the Arm Barn podcast, so I had to throw a pitcher in there. This guy has the most strikeouts and games started in Cubs history. He's a Hall of Famer, Cy Young winner, 3-time All-Star, spent 10 years in Chicago. And it's Fergie Jenkins.
It's a great pick.
Yeah. Again, a great pick, and I'm not saying anything against him. Guy that I don't have on my Rushmore. This has actually been the first time that we have two different names on the Rushmore. Now, Benny, I'll let you go, because you obviously know, but do you have Fergie on there?
I do not. I do not have Fergie Jenkins on my Mount Rushmore, but he is a phenomenal pitcher. I do follow him on Twitter. I love Fergie Jenkins. That is not to take away from him. He is the greatest Cub pitcher of all time, but he did not make my Cub Mount Rushmore.
Now, Matt, who's your honorable mention now? Because now they could go anywhere.
So my honorable mention is a World Series winner, second overall pick by the Cubs. He's won an MVP, Rookie of the Year. I picked Chris Bryant as my honorable mention.
I'm with you there. It's a great pick. And I'm not going to give too much away with my honorable mention, but Chris Bryant is included in mine. But I'll get to that in a little bit. Now, Benny, I know you had Ernie Banks and Rhino on your Rushmore. So who are the other two names that you had there?
Two other names that I had. My third guy would be Ron Santo. Now, I know that probably wouldn't have been a lot of people's pick, but this man has the second highest career WAR as a Cub. I mean, he was phenomenal. He's a Hall of Famer, 9-time All-Star, and a 5-time Gold Glover. 342 career homers with over 2,200 hits. I mean, this guy was at one point the face of the franchise, and you know, he has to be on my list. He's one of the greatest.
Now, Benny, you said that he wouldn't be on most people's lists, but guess who's on my list?
Oh my Ron God.
Santo. He's there for me. He is another name on my Rushmore. And now you have one more name to put up there. And who might that be?
I am going to go with, I feel like this might be a little interesting of a pick, but Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo will be on my Mount Rushmore. I have to top it off with him. I mean, this guy was with the Cubs through the dog days before they were champions and before that they were even remotely good. And I think when you watched him get traded away to the Yankees this past, you know, season, it was heartbreaking. I mean, seeing all three, you know, the core go away, I think Rizzo's was one of the hardest because he was Mr. Cub to, you know, my generation, our generation of, you know, of the Cubs fan base. So he has to be that guy. He has to be on my Mount Rushmore.
Rizzo was an interesting player too, because he wasn't even the top player when they were bad. Like Starlin Castro was the guy that was supposed to be the big person. Yeah. And even after that, it was Addison Russell before all the stuff went down.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, he's a 4-time gold glover, a silver slugger, a platinum glove winner, 3-time all-star, and he's a World Series, you know, champion. And I don't think
on a Cub.
What?
He's just an iconic Cub.
He is an iconic Cub. I don't, you know, he's going to come back. He's going to come back to the Cubs. I mean, I just need it. That's not me being naive or something, but I just think, you know, he had so much love for the city and for this team. You know, he is a Cub. He is a Cub for life.
I'm totally there with you. I do think that he definitely will come back. I don't know if it'll be this free agency cycle, but he definitely will at some point in his career. He'll retire a Cub. I'm certain of it. And now there's the rest of your Rushmore. You have an honorable mention for us, Benny.
I do have an honorable mention, and it is going to be Billy Williams. Now, Billy Williams, I did not pick Chris Bryant, and that's nothing against him because I love Chris Bryant to death. But Billy Williams, I mean, this guy has the 5th highest WAR as a Cub, Hall of Famer, Rookie of the Year, 6-time All-Star, batting title. I mean, he did it all. 290 career average, 426 home runs. This guy was another – and also another retired number for the Cubs. I mean, this guy is cherished by the entire Cub community and fan base. And I think it would just be horrible just to leave him off as not an honorable mention. I think he needs to be there.
I actually thought about putting him as an honorable mention, but I had to have a 2016 member on my Rushmore somewhere.
So you want to know something crazy, Benny? We clearly think alike because Billy Williams is actually my last name on the Rushmore. So you can't not give a guy his due time. Rookie of the Year and only 6 All-Stars in his 16 years in the league, in with the Cubs, 18 years in the league, finished the last 2 with Oakland. But his name was Sweet Swinging Billy. And it's one of the smoothest lefty swings. I've seen video of it when talking about one of the purest swings to graze the field. And that's why I had to put him there, because he's just one of the best lefty bats that we've seen in a long, long time.
100%. And
now it's down to me. And I mentioned that Chris Bryant is a part of my honorable mention, but I couldn't decide on who to put as the honorable mention. Obviously I had to have a 2016 guy. So I kind of did a little bit of finagling with the rules, and I'm putting Brizzo as my honorable mention. I'm putting them both.
Look, Brizzo souvenir company right there.
Look, Chris Bryant, I know he has the MVP over Rizzo, the Rookie of the Year. I believe he has one more All-Star appearance than Rizzo does. Rizzo's obviously been the better fielder. Bryant's been the better offensively, but you can't mention one without the other, especially when you're talking about that 2016 run. In the postseason, they both did their dues in 2016. I know Rizzo got off to a slow start in that NLDS, but he hit 320 in the NLCS against the Dodgers in six games and 360 in the World Series. He had three home runs that postseason with 10 ribbies. It was just, he was the Mr. Cub of our generation, like you said. And then you look at Brian's 2016 postseason, 375 in the four games against the Giants in the DS, 304 with three RBIs in the NLCS. And of course, he did have a little bit of a dip, but he was still slugging 500 in the World Series, despite his 269 average. And I was sitting in my room doing the research. I was, who am I going to put? Who I have to put one of the two. And I decided, you know what? They are one. They are brothers for life. So I'm putting Brizzo in as my honorable mention for the Cubs. And now we're going to jump to the other side of Chicago for our next Rushmore with the White Sox. And seeing as I went last time, I'll go first this time.
Ezra just wants to keep talking.
I know it's true.
That's why we have a podcast.
Frank Thomas, it's got to be said, he's third all-time in WAR. The Big Hurt, Hall of Famer, two-time MVP, five All-Stars, four Silver Sluggers, a batting title, one of the best all-around hitters. You rarely see a guy hit so well for average and for power at the same time. So it was easy. Again, I'm always going to go back to those retired numbers, and his is retired, of course. So Frank Thomas got to be there.
Yeah, continuing with all-time White Sox stats, he was the all-time leader for the White Sox in on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, runs scored, doubles, homers, walks, RBIs. He's the best hitter in White Sox history.
And 16 years with the organization too, so got to give him that nod as well. And moving right to my next pick is, I actually had a bit of trouble with these. I wasn't totally sure who to put for each one. But my next pick is Luke Appling. Now, I know it's not as much of a household name, but he's the all-time leader in WAR. He is just, of course, a Hall of Famer. Won the batting title twice with the Sox, played his full 20-year career with them. He's so important to the history of the White Sox during his time in the league. So that's why I had to put him.
Now, Ezra.
Interesting pick. I've seen Matt really like that.
You say you had to put him. Yeah. I get to do this to you now. He was not on my Rushmore.
Look, it happens.
This is an interesting episode. This is the first time we've had a little bit of different ones.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's going to continue because I went with some different picks than I normally go with. My next pick is 1947 World Series winner, 13-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove winner, and Hall of Famer. Number 9 retired up in the stadium. It's Manny Mignoso. Now, I was looking through the stats, and I'd heard the name over and over again, and I was just – I had to dive deeper. I'm like, how good was he really? And he really was that good. A 20-year career, 12 years with the Sox, 135 home runs isn't anything too extraordinary, but a 304 batting average, on base percentage, just barely below 400, 800 RBIs, 260 doubles and 80 triples in his time, 1500 hits with the Sox, an OPS plus in his career of 130. He's just one of the most underrated players, I think, when it comes to Hall of Famers. I don't think he gets enough due, but I'm giving him his due right now by putting him on my Rushmore.
It's a great pick. Phenomenal pick. Matt seems like he has something to say, though.
I did look deep into Mignoso, also not on my Mount Rushmore.
This is
whoa,
turning out crazy. Now, My next, my last and pick that I'm going to put here is good old mighty might little Nelly Fox. Again, a Hall of Famer, MVP, 15-time All-Star, and 3 gold gloves. He didn't start out with the Sox. He actually started out in Philadelphia. But 14 years after that, played with the Sox, had every single one of his All-Star appearances with them. With the White Sox, he had only 35 career home runs, but 104 career triples with the Sox, 335 doubles with 2,400 hits. The man hit .291. His slugging percentage wasn't great, a big with only a .367, but he was just such – it was just a name that I knew at the beginning I was going to shock some people, I think, by putting him on my list. And Matt, I'm going to take a wild guess. He's not there for you either.
No. Benny, thoughts?
No. No and thoughts. I'm going to keep my comments to myself.
Now, I have one last pick to put in here, and that is my honorable mention. This guy had an 18-year career, finished with 16 consecutive seasons in Chicago. His first season was in 1999. I believe that he is the career leader in games played and at-bats for the White Sox. 2005 ALCS MVP and World Series champion, 6-time All-Star, Paul Konerko. He's a guy that I grew up watching. Whenever I saw the White Sox, it was always just a pleasure to see him hit. A career OBP of .354 and an OPS plus of .118, an OPS in his career of .841. And he's just so good. And I always put him as the first name when I thought about the White Sox. So that's why he's my honorable mention.
On my Mount Rushmore.
There we go. We have two picks.
There's finally something here.
Now, Benny, we'll go to you to see who you have, and then Matt will get to tell me how wrong I am.
No, it's going to be how wrong I am. I went bold.
All right. Benny, well,
go ahead.
I will go ahead, and I will tell you my Mount Rushmore. Now, bye, guys. We're all. Frank Thomas, start off. I don't think anybody is better than the Big Hurt. This guy was an absolute tank. I mean, when you think of the White Sox, especially when I think of the White Sox, I think of Frank Thomas. I mean, this guy, like Ezra said, I mean, a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he's a 2-time MVP. This guy, you know, it seemed almost as if anything was coming towards him, it was going out. And he wasn't just a power hitter. I mean, he was hitting for average as well. I mean, this guy was a force to be reckoned with. Jersey retired. I mean, you have to have him. Now, my number two is going to be Minnie Minoso. I am going to have him on my Mount Rushmore as well. Now, I think Matt said he did it, but hey, we won't worry about that.
Benny, me and you have been thinking very similarly on these Rushmore.
Well, we have gotten that we look alike.
Hey.
So, I mean,
dynamic
look alike. We think alike. So yeah, Minnie Minoso, Hall of Famer, 13-time All-Star. I mean, this guy was it. This is, you know, being a Cuban player, I mean, he was one of the greatest, and finally being into the Hall of Fame is what needed to happen for this type of player. I mean, he deserves it 100%. For my third pick, I'm going to go with Paul Konerko. When you walk into US Cellular or whatever they call it.
Guaranteed rate change.
I don't call it that. It's
so many times.
All right. It's called that.
It is always going to be the cell in my mind.
When you walk into that stadium, I mean, you see statues of him. I mean, this guy, in my eyes, growing up, you know, being alive, I mean, I was only 4, but, you know, this was sort of like in terms of the Mr. Cub, it was the Mr. White Sox. I mean, this guy was the face of the franchise in the early 2000s. And to bring home, I think it was 80 plus years of a drought of World Series, and they finally brought one home in 05. I mean, this guy was the real deal. I mean, this was who I also thought of when you think of the White Sox. To cap off my Mount Rushmore, though, I'm going to go with Mark Buehrle. Now, I did pick a pitcher, and I think he is well-deserving of this. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of tension, especially coming from you, Ezra.
No, I think that he's totally deserving. I actually was considering him, putting him as my honorable mention, but he was just so good. I didn't realize how good he was with the White Sox until I looked into the numbers. I never realized how long he also pitched with them.
Yeah.
A fantastic pitcher. One of the very few recently to throw a perfecto. And I think it's a great pick. It's just, I wasn't expecting anybody to put it on.
Yes, I have to. I mean, his jersey's retired. 161 wins with the Sox. I mean, it's all there. 3.83 ERA. I mean, it's not appealing to the eye right off the bat, but like you said, a perfect game. I mean, the White Sox engraved that catch, the catch. If you looked at the outfield wall, there is a spot where the catch for his perfect game was saved. I mean, he's cherished by the White Sox community, I think. I mean, I can't stand the White Sox, but I won't go into that either. But to go into my honorable mention to top it off, I'm actually going to go with, I think it's a sleeper. There was a movie. He was starring in it. Shoeless Joe Jackson.
100% great pick. Great pick.
I feel like this guy is well deserving to be an honorable mention. I mean, the guy hit 356 in his career. Now with the White Sox, I mean, he batted 340. I get, like, this guy was just an all around player. It's kind of your first ever five tool player. And it was sad to see, you know, with the whole the Black Sox scandal and everything. You know, it was sad to see his career just diminish, but I mean, he was that player. I mean, he was amazing. And I think it's time to recognize him as one of the greatest White Sox players.
Yeah, you got to think. I know he didn't play a ton of seasons with the White Sox, and that's partially the reason that I left him off my list. But you got to think that if he wasn't banned for life, he probably would have been near the top in every statistical batting category for the White Sox if he'd been able to continue to play. And honestly, we got to get the guy in the Hall of Fame.
It's well-deserving. Now, I don't think it'll ever happen because of, you know, the whole cheating scandal. I think that's going to, you know, really block that from ever happening. I mean, it's happening with Pete Rose and his gambling, you know, thing. But I think, you know, when you look at it, that type of player that he is, I think he's well-deserving.
It's very deserving for sure.
Now, Matt,
yep.
You seem like you've got a lot on your mind about
giving us a look. This is
these two Mount Rushmores that you've heard from me and Ezra.
We'll run through this real quick. So, yes, Frank Thomas. Yes, Paul Konerko. Both had to be there. Obviously, two first basemen, but great. It's two of the greatest hitters in White Sox history. Now, the third one, I thought nobody else was going to put on here but me. But me and Benny think alike, and I also had Mark Buehrle on my Mount Rushmore. 12 years in Chicago. Not only was he an all-star five times for pitching, he also had four gold gloves. Won the World Series in 2005, and that perfect game is one of the biggest highlight reels in White Sox history. Now, for my fourth guy, I'm surprised he hasn't been brought up yet. He's a Hall of Famer, won Rookie of the Year. He was on a World Series team in 1966, 11-time All-Star,
I already know where you're going with this.
10 years with the White Sox. It's Luis Aparicio. I mean, he averaged 40 strikeouts a year with the White Sox, which is close to nothing. And he wasn't a home run hitter. He only had 43 home runs in 10 years, but he was a fast guy. He had 54 triples, 223 doubles in those 10 years. 318 stolen bases, hit 270. He wasn't the greatest hitter, but he won you games on the bases and in the field.
Yeah, Aparicio is another name that I was debating putting in, but I just, there there were guys that I just saw that I jumped out at me just a little bit more, but Aparicio was definitely on my radar for this.
Now, my honorable mention is he's a great player for the White Sox. But the reason I mainly have him on my, as my honorable mention, is what he did for the game in general. He came here, won a Rookie of the Year in 2014. He won an MVP in 2020. I took Jose Abreu as my honorable mention.
Three first basemen on your
Wow.
your
today.
Yeah. He was a three-time All-Star, three-time Silver Slugger, MLB Player of the Year. He has 228 homers, 290 batting average, 1,200 hits, 788 RBIs. And he's 8 years all in Chicago. Like I said, he might not have the numbers of some of the players that you mentioned, Ezra. And obviously, like, not up there when you look at all-time White Sox players, especially looking back in the back, like the when they first started with Shoeless Joe Jackson. But when he came over from Cuba, I believe, it was one of the biggest stories. And he just set the world on fire, much like Ohtani did this year. And for a while, that year or 2 years, he was the face of baseball. And it led to players like Cespedes and Jose Fernandez and other Cuban players that came over to become big faces in the league.
Yeah, Abreu, a great pick. I was thinking about it as well. And he's still got time in his career put himself up on those leaderboards for the White Sox, especially considering he's 24th, I believe, in career WAR, and he's still got time to go. I think we have seen some of his best seasons. The Rookie of the Year season was just a sight to behold. The 2020 season, the shortened season, that MVP campaign was again a sight to behold. And he's just one of the greatest White Sox in recent memory, I would say, and just one of the greatest people in baseball. He's always up for the Roberto Clemente Award, I know, and it's just a good shout from you, Matt, to put him there.
Yeah, like I said, the stuff he did for the game and opening up the game to other players, much like Clemente did with Puerto Rico. And I know it's not as big or as well known, but him, I know the Red Sox signed Ruzne Castillo, which didn't work out, but still got him a big deal, which that also opened the door for other international players, especially Cubans, to get big money when they first come over.
That's a great – I honestly did not realize how good his stats were. I mean, I think he is underrated now. Like, when I finally look at his 162 game average, I mean, batting 290, 350 OBP, 515 slugging, and an 865 OPS. And, I mean, he's averaging 33 home runs and 115 RBIs in a season. Like, I mean, you can argue that this top 10 first baseman, I mean, I'm not going to put him, you know, in the top five, but I mean, top 10, I mean, he's up there. And I
easily
have him, and to have him on the, you know, the Mount Rushmore discussion, I mean, that's 100% fair.
It's very well deserved. And he's also the de facto leader of that White Sox team. I know they've had a lot of issue the past season with the likes of Yermín Mercedes and his antics compared with Tony La Russa's idea of what baseball should be like. But Abreu really came into his own as a leader this past season, and that's definitely a reason that he's got to be in the conversation. And for you, Matt, the honorable mention for the White Sox Mount Rushmore. And I believe with that, we've hit our time for today, our first ever guest episode. Thank you so much for joining us, Benny, from the beautiful home of Indiana.
Thank you for having me. I mean, it's awesome. I get to be the first guest of Arm Barn.
Yeah, thank you, Benny. Shout yourself out. Where can the listeners find you?
You can follow me on Instagram, BennyGuevara_13, or you can follow my photography account, element.219. I do shoot photography. It's what I'm going to school for. I do a lot of sports photography, so if you want to check that out, you're more than welcome to.
Do it.
He's great. Definitely go check him out.
The man has a gift with a camera.
You guys are too kind.
Benny, I remember at the beginning of the season, I had barely talked to you before. And we, during the fall season, you came in with the camera and just took some of the most beautiful pictures I've seen of baseball players. You know how to capture the moment. So I would encourage all of our listeners to check out the Element Instagram page. See how well you can do with it.
Appreciate this. This is too kind of
And to all listeners, once again, thank you for listening to the newest episode of the Arm Barn, and go follow Arm Barn Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Thank you for listening, and see y'all next week.